10.
They come to the wire, and Ali Sheba, America's horse, has done it.
9.
This is unbelievable. Zenyatta, what a performance, one we'll never forget.
8.
Wise Dan's got him. Wise Dan, brilliant in the mile.
7.
But there is absolutely no stopping Songbird. It is all Songbird. Mike Smith aboard, crushing the field.
6.
And Coach Zephyr is pulling away impressively.
5.
Mucho Macho Man, the more they ask, the more he gave.
4.
And it's a vintage performance by Vino Rosso in the Breeders' Cup Classic.
3.
Here is our king to win it in an absolute shocker. He's 99-1.
2.
He's an everlasting credit to the sport. American Pharoah has belted a grand slam in the Breeders' Cup Classic.
1.
Arrowgate still coming. California Chrome. Arrowgate steals the show in the Breeders' Cup Classic.
This is the Breeders' Cup Countdown on HRRN. Now let's go live to our HRRN studios and join host Bobby Newman.
Pleasant good morning, everyone. Welcome to HRRN's Breeders' Cup Countdown for this 2020 racing season. Yes, the time is upon us. Welcome, everybody. The Breeders' Cup is just in sight. I'm Bobby Newman alongside Jude Feld, and we are bringing you live coverage of the Breeders' Cup. What's happening from Lexington, Kentucky these next 3 mornings? We're going to have a great shows for you each and every day, 8 to 10 a.m. right here on HRRN. Lots of guests lined up. And Jude, it seemed like it took a long, long time to get here, but the Breeders' Cup is here. It's actually happening. And believe it or not, it may be the strongest collection of fields we've seen in the Breeders' Cup ever.
Yeah, it's a fantastic group of horses. Just really excited for Friday and Saturday. Been studying for a couple of weeks now and got everything sort of lined out. We got the undercard PPs last night, and there's some good races on the non-Breeders' Cup side of things as well as the Breeders' Cup. So it's going to be an exciting couple of days. I'm very fortunate to be able to be there in person, so I'm looking forward to it.
And you mentioned being there in person. That's something that unfortunately a lot of fans will not be able to do. This is still 2020, which unfortunately means that things are not as they normally are because of the pandemic and everything that's happened in the world this year. The Breeders' Cup, like the Triple Crown races, like a lot of everyday racing around the country, will be conducted without fans. There will be a limited amount of fans that you mentioned you're going. Obviously, the horsemen, the people involved with the races at Keeneland Friday and Saturday will be allowed to go. There will be select players. The breeders will be allowed to go. But for the most part, the general public will not be able to attend the Breeders' Cup live at Keeneland this year. That certainly hasn't hurt the handle in a lot of the places. We've seen the handle up just about every racetrack we've seen in the country this year during this pandemic season, but we'll have to be watching from afar, either online or at our local racetracks or on television, of course. What's been going on at Keeneland so far? Well, they did have the post-position draw yesterday for all 14 of this year's Breeders' Cup races. You know, a few months ago, Jude, we would have thought that, you know, we didn't know how well the Breeders' Cup would come off. We didn't know how many horses would be pointed this year. We really didn't know what was going on with racing, even as recently as 5 or 6 months ago. But here we are, early part of November, 184 horses entered yesterday in the Breeders' Cup races. And I think even more amazing than that, 39 runners from overseas headed over and entered into the Breeders' Cup races. You know, we didn't know what the travel restrictions were going to be. We didn't know how, if any of the Euros were going to be pointed to the Breeders' Cup this year because of the pandemic and the quarantining and the protocols. 39, just a bevy of runners from overseas, and especially in the turf races, both on Friday and Saturday. It's really a fantastic gathering of the world's best runners both days. And with the exception of the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies, Jude, every race a very big field.
Yeah, each race is deep, and there's several contenders. It's going to be a great betting card because there's going to be some mistakes made along the way. People are going to ignore certain horses, and they're going to pop up and win. Like I always say, some grade one horse is going to finish last in pretty much every Breeders' Cup race. So, you know, they're unpredictable sometimes. But if you look for value, if you look for those horses that are doing well and coming up to the race in good order, sometimes you can get a little extra 2-3 points on them. Makes a big difference at the end of the day.
You mentioned that the past performances are out for the full cards both Friday and Saturday at Keeneland. We can tell you weather-wise, it's supposed to be great this week. It's actually cold right now at Keeneland. Temperature somewhere around 41, 42 degrees. And you can see the people reporting from Keeneland dressed up like there's a squall coming. But it's beautiful, just a little chilly right now. Supposed to get up into the low 60s today. By Friday and Saturday, mostly sunny, temperatures in the high 60s, maybe even around 70 degrees on Saturday. Great news for everyone. We should have fast and firm conditions. And especially if you're somebody looking at playing the European runners, they don't like it too warm. When the Breeders' Cups are at warm weather places, especially when they used to be at Gulfstream Park, even some years when they're out at Santa Anita and it's warmer or more humid, the Euros don't seem to like it as much. I don't think we're going to have those issues this weekend. Like I said, high 60s, maybe 70 degrees, not nearly the humidity, sunny skies. Should be great racing conditions for everyone. Well, we mentioned the post position draws were yesterday for all 14 races. The only real news, big news yesterday, was the fact that one of the juvenile fillies, Princess Secret, tested positive for a steroid and was not allowed to enter the Breeders' Cup. Now, she was certainly going to be one of the longer shots in the field, but with Princess Secret not running, a field that already wasn't going to be overflowing is even shorter as now that Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies. Let's see, I believe they not that many runners in there, maybe an eight-horse field.
Seven-horse field,
and it's down to seven, so, you know, it's a real talented bunch, but a seven-horse field, still a tough race to handicap, even with those seven runners. Okay, coming up on the show today, well, first of all, this is the start of Windstar Week here on HRRN. We're so happy with this, and we're going to be profiling a lot of the great stallions on the Windstar roster. By the way, we'll be speaking to Elliot Walden in a couple days to talk about Windstar and everything they've got going, not only stallions represented by several horses in both days of the Breeders' Cup, but how strange is this? Improbable, Global Campaign, Tom's d'Etat, three major players in this year's Breeders' Cup Classic, all scheduled to join the Stallion roster at Windstar beginning in 2021. So Windstar, congratulations to them, and they obviously are going to have their eyes all over the place on Friday and Saturday. We've got a great show lined up today. Great guests all 3 days here on the Breeders' Cup Countdown. Bruce Lunsford, the owner and breeder of Art Collector, will be joining us today. Jared Burdine, general manager from Hillendale Farm, will be joining us. They've got stallions represented by many, many runners both Friday and Saturday. Ned Toffee, the general manager of Spendthrift, will be with us today. They also represented by a lot of runners Friday and Saturday. They also are the co-owners of Authentic and Mr. Money. Trainer Michelle Lovell, who conditions Just Might in the Turf Sprint, she'll be on the show today. She's actually the owner, trainer, and breeder of Just Might. Acacia Courtney will be with us each of these 3 days live from Keeneland to give us an on-track report. And we're going to be joined very shortly by Brian Hernandez Jr., a rider who's got six scheduled to go in the Breeders' Cup, actually five, and then one on the also eligible. So he is going to have a busy 2 days. In addition, we'll be looking at what's going on at Fasig Tipton coming up. Fasig Tipton's got a big sale starting on November the 8th. And, I mean, a lot of the runners, not only a lot of the runners who are in the Breeders' Cup races will be up in the sale that day, but there are a lot of storylines, runners who've gone through the Fasig Tipton ring, runners who were kin to several who were going through the ring. So Fasig Tipton, really the place to be next week, and they also keeping their eyes on the prize this Friday and Saturday. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Brian Hernandez Jr. You're listening to the Breeders' Cup Countdown on HRRN.
This is HRRN, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Constitution is best up-and-coming sire.
He's beautiful. He's well-balanced.
He's throwing classic-type horses and horses that can go on to be stallions.
This horse has a chance to be very important.
There's really nothing not to be excited about. He's done everything right so far.
He's going to have a big career as a sire, even much better than he did it as a racehorse.
Whether it be long, short, grass, dirt, they can do it all.
He's over-delivered as much as any horse that I've seen.
He's really a dream of a stallion.
Standing at Windstar Farm.
What do these Breeders' Cup starters have in common? Swiss Skydiver, Tom's Daytaw, By My Standards, Serengeti Empress, CeCe, Improbable, Frank's Raquette, Ollie's Candy, Venetian Harbor, CZ Rocket, and Pirate's Punch. They all started at Oaklawn in 2020. Make plans now to join us for the richest winter race meet in the country from January 22nd to May 1st. Stall applications are now available at oaklawn.com. Oaklawn, a new level of racing.
Bolt Doro, America's fastest multiple Grade 1 winning juvenile since Uncle Mo. Bolt Doro scored dominating victories in the Grade 1 Del Mar Futurity and Grade 1 Frontrunner Stakes, earning a 103 buyer speed figure, the fastest by a two-year-old since 2014.
We're witnessing the emergence of a star as Bolt Doro treats his rivals to a comprehensive walloping in the frontrunner.
Bolt Doro's first weanlings are electric. Look for them next week at Keeneland and Fasig Tipton. Bolt Doro, standing at Spendthrift Farm.
Hey everyone, this is Mike Penna, the Baron of the Backstretch. Join me every Saturday morning from 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern on the Equine Forum. Each week, I'll bring you interviews with the biggest names in racing as I take you inside the world of thoroughbred racing and breeding and discuss the sport's hottest topics. So make plans to join me every Saturday morning from 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern. It's the Equine Forum on Sirius 219, XM 201, and streaming worldwide at horseracingradio.net.
Hi, my name is Alan Garcia.
My name is Paco Lopez.
This is Jose Lescano.
This is jockey Emma Jane Wilson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to exclusive coverage of Breeders' Cup Challenge Day, presented by Breeders' Cup on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Fort Lana, the leader. Lucho Macho Man, and now Game On Dude can go on. Game On Dude, lot going on. Flat Out is coming after them in the center, but it is Fort Lana digging deep. He's trying to hold on. Fort Lana along the inside. Lucho Macho Man right up alongside of him. What a thriller in the Breeders' Cup Classic. Fort Lana digs deep. Mucho Macho Man, it's nose and nose to the wire. Fort Lana has won it. That move on the far turn, the deciding factor. Fort Lana and Brian Hernandez have won it. Mucho Macho Man. Then it'll be Flat Out Richard Kidd running on late.
Trevor Denman on the call of the 2012 Breeders' Cup Classic, won by Fort Larned. First Breeders' Cup victory for jockey Brian Hernandez Jr. Welcome back to the Breeders' Cup Countdown here on HRRN, part of Windstar Week on HRRN. Bobby Newman alongside Jude Feld as we get ready for three big days here on the network and looking forward to the Breeders' Cup Championships this Friday and Saturday live from Keeneland. We've got five races on Friday. We've got nine races on Saturday, early post times both days, and big undercards both days. The first live race at Keeneland this Friday is 11:30 a.m. The first Breeders' Cup race is 2:30 Eastern time. And then on Saturday, the first live race of the day is 10:15 a.m. Eastern time. That's the Perryville Stakes and the first live Breeders' Cup race set for 12:02 p.m. Eastern time. So really, if you're on the West Coast, you wake up early, but it's a great reason to wake up. We're joined now on the phones by Brian Hernandez Jr., who guided Fort Larned to that 2012 Breeders' Cup Classic win. Brian, welcome to HRRN.
Hey, Bobby. Thanks for having me.
Brian, really appreciate it. And obviously, the Breeders' Cup Championships, big in everybody's mind. Those of us who like playing the races, it's like Christmas for us in early November. You as a rider, you know, is this something where you also are thinking about this every day, or do the other races that you're riding keep you so busy that, you know, you kind of keep it in the background?
No, you know, riding-wise, we think about it all the time, because going into the preps and everything else, you're looking for those horses to get you to Breeders' Cup, so you're always on the lookout for them, and then you get excited for these big weekends, like the weekend coming up.
Yeah, it's always one of those things where you know, you think about the races, you think about the success, the glory. Sometimes you think about the money, although the money really never enters into it, really, I don't think. Maybe sometimes, but you know, you can't help but look forward to it when you ride a horse or train a horse that's good, and you think, wow, could this be a Breeders' Cup horse? Could this horse be the one, like Larry Colmus said? You know, it's one of those things that just keeps you going all year long.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we get up every morning for. We're out there working horses all the time. We're always looking for those horses to get us the recognition, because these weekends, Breeders' Cup weekends and Derby weekends and stuff like that, those are the races that people remember. Those are the races that people will always remember you for. So you want to be in the spotlight on those days.
Brian, you're set to ride 5 Breeders' Cup races in those 2 days. You have a 6th one, Lasting Legacy, in the sprint that's on the also eligibles list. But 5 that are in the bodies of the field, with the first one being Bodenheimer in the very first Breeders' Cup race, the Juvenile Turf Sprint. You've been aboard Bodenheimer for trainer Valerie Lund each of his last 2 starts. He's a horse that has a lot of speed, was very impressive wiring the field in the Indian Summer last time out. There's also a lot of other speed in this race. So what do you do when you're riding a horse like Bodenheimer? Is this a race where is this just, you know, he's got speed, we're getting out and going? Or do you have to do a little handicapping as to where the other horses are going to be?
Yeah, you know, you have to do the handicapping, because you have to go out there and give your horse the best chance possible. And in Bodenheimer's case, at least we know he likes Keeneland. He's got a race over the track, and we drew well with the 10 holes, so we'll just have to go out there and give him his best chance. You know, look over the race again and watch all the replays of not only Bodenheimer but all the other horses in the race, and just kind of figure out what our best strategy will be.
Yeah, that's always part of it. You know, Johnny Velasquez always talks about Plan A, Plan B, Plan C, all the way to Plan Z. He usually has, but everything can change at the break, or you can have some trouble, a horse can come over on you or something. You have to change on the fly, and a lot of times people don't really understand that, because you can have the best plan in the world, but it goes out the door really quick sometimes.
Yeah, exactly, especially when you're talking about these two-year-olds going 5.5 on the grass. You know, everything's going to be happening quickly, so we just have to go out there and be as prepared as possible and just give our horse the best chance we can, and just kind of ride him like he's going to be the best horse in the race, and hope we can be victorious.
In the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies, you ride Crazy Beautiful for Kenny McPeak. She's raced 4 times already in her career, 2 wins, 2 second-place finishes. She's actually been favored in all 4 of her starts. Last time, she was pretty soundly defeated in the Alcibiades by Simply Ravishing, and she's 20-1 on the morning line, which is just absolutely amazing. How was her trip in the Alcibiades, and how can she make up those 6 lengths on Simply Ravishing?
You know, her trip in the Alcibiades was decent. She tracked Simply Ravishing the whole way, and Simply Ravishing kind of got the best of us that day. But this filly, since her race in Alcibiades, she's come back and worked unbelievable. So we think she's gotten stronger and better. So we just have to go into the race And with her drawing the six hole like that, it looks like she can get a good clean trip around there, and just hopefully we can turn the tables on her.
You know, I've been a fan of yours since you were a bug boy, and one thing I got to say about you is you're one of the hardest working jocks on the backside. You're out there getting on horses in the morning. Do you feel like that's a big edge for you, or do you do it for fun, or do you do it to learn, or talk about that for a second?
Yeah, no, I just like being out there in the mornings because it helps get to know the horses, and I always found it a lot of fun to go out and help develop horses. You know, you get out there in the morning, you get to know them, and then you get to know when to expect big races. So being able to get on as many horses as possible in the morning, it always helps, and it's good because then it helps with making good relationships with trainers, and they know that when they call us to work horses, that hey, we're going to show up every morning.
Brian, the final race on the Future Stars Friday card is the Breeders' Cup Juvenile at a mile and a 16th, a $2 million purse. And you're in there as well with King Fury, a runner for Kenny McPeak, who's 2-for-3 in his career. Both wins, you were aboard, a maiden victory at Churchill, and then the Street Sense at Churchill. Give us your impressions of King Fury and what kind of things need to go right for him to run a big race.
You know, King Fury, he's a really nice horse. He's lightly raced, but that's the majority of everything in that race. And we just have to go in there with drawing the two hole. We have to go in there and kind of just give him his best effort and trust him because he's shown his two races at Churchill how good he is. But I know he threw a clunker in over the Breeders' Futurity, but he drew wide that day, and the race flow didn't really set up for him that day. But he came back in the Street Sense, and he ran a really big race 13 days ago. He's wheeling back quick, but Kenny believes he's a really good horse, and we think we have a big chance.
He's a really good-looking horse, too, isn't he?
I'm sorry?
Isn't he a really good-looking horse? I mean,
he's a really, really,
really
good-looking
handsome
horse. I mean, they paid $950 for him in the at the Saratoga sale, so he's something to look at, that's for sure.
Does that ever freak you out when you get on a horse that somebody paid almost $1 million for?
You know, it just adds a little pressure to it because you want them to be good horses. You know, they've had high expectations from him since day one, so you just kind of want to go out there and let him show how good he is.
Speaking with Brian Hernandez Jr., who rides 5 runners, possibly 6 in the Breeders' Cup, depending on if Lasting Legacy draws in off the alsos in the sprint. Brian riding 3 on Friday, as of now 2 on Saturday. Also, Sally's Curlin in the Filly and Mare Sprint and Art Collector in the Dirt Mile. And we'll be speaking with Art Collector's owner and breeder Bruce Lunsford coming up shortly here on HRRN. Before we let you go, Brian, want to flash back to 2012 and your victory aboard Fort Larned in the Breeders' Cup Classic. What do you specifically remember about that day and, you know, maybe going into that race and your feelings afterward?
Going into Breeders' Cup that day, it was just a lot of fun because with Fort Larned, he always gave us a lot of confidence. And I remember riding over to the track with my wife, and we were kind of just looking over the farm, and I told her, I said, you know what, if we leave the gates good today, we can actually win this thing. And that was the thing. We kind of it was almost one of those surreal days because we had so much confidence in him that we didn't really think he can lose. And then for him to go out there and do what he did, he broke sharp that day, and he just kind of took it to him and went out there to win a race like the Classic. It was great. You know, it was on my birthday, so it was probably the best birthday gift I could have got. So it was just one of those surreal moments that you don't think you dream of it happening, but for it to actually be able to go out there and win a race like the Classic, it was just one of those things that we work hard for and we were able to get done.
Well, Brian, we really appreciate you joining us this morning, taking the time out. I know it's a little bit of a hectic situation in between breaks there in Kentucky, but we wish you the very best both Friday and Saturday, Breeders' Cup-wise, and going forward, certainly the best. Best of luck this weekend, Brian.
Oh, no, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Brian Hernandez Jr., rider of 5, possibly 6 runners in this weekend's Breeders' Cup races. Bodenheimer, Crazy Beautiful, King Fury on Friday, Sally's Curlin, Art Collector on Saturday, and then Lasting Legacy, who's also eligible in the Breeders' Cup Sprint. And Jude Brian Hernandez is on some live runners. I know the morning lines don't reflect it. You know, we talked about King Fury. We talk about Crazy Beautiful. Crazy Beautiful, she's been favored all four of her starts. She finished second to Simply Ravishing in the Alcibiades. Simply Ravishing may be favored in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies. And Crazy Beautiful, who was second, albeit not real close in second, is 20-1 on the morning line.
Yeah, well, that's like we were talking about earlier in the show. You know, there's going to be some mistakes made. Horses are going to fall through the cracks, and a lot of times they're really, really good horses. So that's what you look for on Breeders' Cup Day. You wait for those mistakes on the board to happen, and you take advantage when you can.
Maybe the most famous of the horses that Brian Hernandez is riding this weekend is Art Collector. And speaking of Art Collector, when we come back, we're going to speak with the owner and breeder of Art Collector, Mr. Bruce Lunsford. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Twin Spires is the best place to bet every Breeders' Cup race, and we have a fantastic bet back offer. Head to TwinSpires.com or the Twin Spires app, opt in with the code HRRNBC, and get up to $20 back if the horse you bet to win finishes second, and up to $10 back if the horse you bet to win finishes third on all Breeders' Cup races. That's right, get your bet back if you run second or third. Twin Spires, the official betting partner of the Kentucky Derby. Additional terms apply to bonus. Must be 18 plus or legal wagering age. Void where prohibited. See TwinSpires.com for details. Terms and conditions apply. Wager responsibly. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Adina Spring Stallion Mucho Macho Man. Tough, sound, durable. A stakes winner at 3, 4, 5, and 6 who competed in all three Triple Crown races before turning 3 years old and capped a stellar career with a determined victory in the Breeders' Cup Classic over champions Will Take Charge and Declaration of War.
Mucho Macho Man has the lead close to home. Mucho Macho Man, Declaration of War. Will Take Charge, a final man. Mucho Macho Man! He did it over Will Take Charge!
Mucho Macho Man has produced two first crop grade one winners, one on dirt.
Mucho Gusto in the Pegasus World Cup! He won it by 5 lengths!
And one on turf.
And the California bred Mucho Unusual all the way in the Rodeo Drive.
The number one North American sire by 2020 average earnings per runner is Mucho Macho Man, standing at Adina Springs.
The championship season returns to Gulfstream Park this December. Thoroughbred stakes action returns with the Claiming Crown, the Fort Lauderdale, the Grade 1 $3 million Pegasus World Cup, the Fountain of Youth Stakes, the Grade 1 Florida Derby, and much, much more. Stay in on the action from the comfort of your mobile phone with the First Bet app, the official app of Gulfstream Park. First Bet offers AI-predicted picks, high-definition live stream races, replays, and live betting from the palm of your hand.
Hey, this is the Big A, Anthony Stabile. Join me and Bobby Newman every Wednesday through Friday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern for Race Day on HRRN. We'll bring you all the action from places like Belmont, Keeneland, Churchill, and Santa Anita, interviews with the biggest stars in thoroughbred racing, and follow the road to the Breeders' Cup right to Lexington on November 6th and 7th. Tune in on Sirius 219, XM 201, or stream Race Day Live on your home for all of racing's biggest events at horseracingradio.net.
This is Carlos Martin, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to exclusive coverage of Breeders' Cup Challenge Day, presented by Breeders' Cup on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Arazi with a dramatic move as the field turns for home. He's wide into the stretch. Bertrando stunned at the inside with the move here of Arazi, and he's pouring it on. Just incredible move as they come to the top of the stretch by four now. And then it's Bertrando, who is now a discouraged second farther back. It is snappy landing, and they're coming down to the finish here. Here indeed is a superstar. Arazi, absolutely brilliant. He was taken under a hard hold to win it here by five, and he could have won by ten, perhaps. And Bertrando was second. Absolutely sensational.
Tom Durkin on the call of the 1991 Breeders' Cup Juvenile, won in superstar fashion by Arazi. Welcome back to HRRN's Breeders' Cup Countdown 2020, first of three consecutive days, will be on the air with the Breeders' Cup Countdown. Bobby Newman along with Jude Feld. Jude, maybe the most famous Breeders' Cup race of all time, and certainly one of the most impressive to watch. Arazi just absolutely humbling the field in the 1991 Breeders' Cup Juvenile. Not only stunned Bertrando, I think he stunned Tom Durkin with that move he made around the far turn.
Yeah, Tom sounded like he was about 12 in that race call. he didn't have that deep resonating voice that he had later on, but that was an amazing race. I'll never forget it. And another thing I won't forget, I had a filly win a stakes one time, and the guy that wrote up the race said she made an Arazi-like charge. That really made me feel good.
Arazi, unfortunately, didn't go on to be as strong as a three-year-old or an older horse as he was as a two-year-old, but that race in the Breeders' Cup was legendary. Will we see any Arazi-like moves in this year's Breeders' Cup? Time will tell. Well, happy to be joined now by Bruce Lunsford, the owner and breeder of Art Collector, who takes place, takes part in this year's Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. Bruce, thanks for joining us here on the Breeders' Cup Countdown.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Bobby.
Bruce, you have had really probably the range of emotions as far as an owner and a breeder can have in the last few months in horse racing. Art Collector, so good in his preparations for this year's Kentucky Derby, winning four races in a row, two big allowance races, the Grade II Bluegrass, the Ellis Park Derby. He figured to be the second choice in this year's Kentucky Derby. Unfortunately, a little bit of an ailment 3 or 4 days before the race forced him to scratch. He comes back in the Preakness, doesn't run as well in the Preakness as you or probably anyone had hoped. But now you get to see him on the big stage in the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. Tell us about what's been going on in your mind regarding Art Collector these last 4 months or so.
Well, I think first of all, it was a surprise at the level he got to, and you know, we had a plan where we would run him, you know, run him in an allowance race, and if he won well, if he did well there, then we would we had a three race track that we were going to go, and we decided that we would try to run the you know, obviously the Bluegrass was my big goal because I'd gone to school there. One of the first Bluegrass I saw was one that got me interested in the business when Grossdark won. And so it meant a lot to me to win it. I went to school at the University of Kentucky. Keeneland's my favorite track. And we thought we were right on target to do what we wanted to do, and that was in Grunda the Derby. But then we were able to run in the Ellis Park Derby rather than let him sit on the sidelines. And he was training terrific, in the terrific fashion for the Derby. In fact, I watched the two works of the winner of the Derby and our horse the same day, almost identical times, and it was like you're watching two horses who could be a match made in heaven. And then when he got the little thing on his heel, we just had to set him out. He never really got completely back to there. Then we had to ship to Philadelphia, or not Philadelphia, but to Baltimore to run in the in the race there, the Preakness, and a lot of bad things happened. One of which he got a cough the next day, and also the fact that he didn't get out of the gate well, and it was pretty much a speed bias track for the Preakness. So you know, we had to kind of rethink things, and he's really training well. You know, Tommy and I did not want to run a mile and a quarter off of that race, and so we backed up to run in the mile. The mile doesn't have many three-year-olds. It's, you know, primarily going to have to be four-year-olds to win it, particularly probably the two favorites being Complexity and the horse of Brad's. So I think in the end, you were where we ought to be. You know, it's going to be a race that I think will be very quick. I would be surprised if we don't come, if the track's good, if the race doesn't come near the track record.
You know, a lot of people thought he might actually go favored in the Kentucky Derby. That's how good he was training. And then, you know, you chronicled the mishaps that he had along the way. But right now, he seems, at least to my eye, that he's training as good as he was going to the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, the last two works, the first one at Churchill was terrific, and then last week was just a maintenance work. And you know, I love the way he's going. I love the way he acts. He acts happy. We'll have a little bit of a challenge to get out of the one hole, but he's the kind of horse, if he breaks clean, he'll be able to do it. I'd probably rush, and being the mile, I'd probably much rather be there than I would in the 10, 11, and 12 hole, because they've not been very productive at Keeneland over the years.
Post position probably most important in the dirt mile this year with that short run to the turn, and Art Collector maybe drawing the best post of them all, drawing down along the inside. You mentioned that there is some other pace in the race. Looks like a lot of pace, actually. Complexity has speed. Nick's Go is very, very fast. Art Collector has been very versatile this year. He's shown wins, including in a sprint where he was as far as seven lengths back. He's shown wins in wire-to-wire fashion. If all things go the way you would like them to go, where would you like to see Art Collector early on in the race?
Well, I'd like to see him untroubled, whether he's first, second, or third going into the first turn, because that's usually where the race is won going a mile over there. Then you've got obviously the short run to the stretch. So I think if we're there, I'm kind of in a position where I can watch the race, at least think I'm going to get a fair shot. And if that doesn't happen, as you saw in the Preakness where he couldn't get out, I think you have a difficult time winning that race. I think you got to be able to get in good position around the first turn, because it comes so quickly that the horses on the outside, they have to almost, break like the horse did in the Derby Authentic, where they break and just go all out to get there. And if that's probably okay. The thing I really feel good about is I think the mile, backing up to the mile, I've always kind of been a believer if you back horses up to a race level they've won before, sometimes you get their best shot. I think he showed in the races he ran 6.5 and 7, the mile is could be right up his alley, and we'll see. But I really like it, what I see so far, and what I saw the draw, and who I saw got in the race. I feel pretty good about it. I think the Classic's going to be a very tough race for 3 year olds because some of those older horses are pretty good.
One of the things that you have going in your favor is the two horses to your outside are not bullet fast horses. So you should be able, if you get any kind of break at all, you should be able to outfoot them a little bit in the first few strides and get a spot that you want to be in.
Yeah. I think that's right. It's funny. I'm going to get hold of him today, but several months ago I was in New York City and I went to a play, and the guy sitting beside me owns Sharp Samurai, and so we text back, we sent a couple of quick emails to each other, but I think it's interesting that I've bred First Samurai, and I met him out of all places in a play in New York City, and now we're going to wind up running against each other in the mile. So those are the kind of things about the horse business that I really like.
That's a great story.
Speaking with Bruce Lunsford, the owner and breeder of Art Collector, who drew the rail for this year's Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. Big field going two turns in the mile at Keeneland. Art Collector 6-1 on the morning line, coming off a little bit of a subpar performance in the Preakness, but he had excuses that day. Bruce, how much of a factor do you think it is going to be with the race being at Keeneland for Art Collector? I mean, not only has he run well over the track, but instead of having to get on a plane, you just get on a van and go about an hour down the road.
Well, I think it's a great advantage, and one thing I did learn about that, I'm not sure the plane is the best of places to be going to different places. And I think Tommy, I've had a lot of discussion about this. If we travel again, we'll probably travel long enough before the race to let him settle down and settle in and all of that. But I think it was a great advantage to be able to run in Kentucky every time. It was a great advantage to us, and that's going to be true a lot of times, because Kentucky has big races and you sometimes don't have to move around. And, you know, a lot of the guys have barns set up, you know, like a Shook has an ability to do it in Kentucky when he brings a horse like Code of Honor in here, and or Bill Mott, because they have their own barns and they know how to work from one place to another, and it's a little bit easier. And they also tend to bring them a little bit earlier. So I think that's probably the one thing, if I had to do over again, I think Tommy and I both agree we'd have gone earlier.
You've been in this business a long time, and you've had a good amount of success. Talk about the patience that it takes to be an owner, and when bad things happen, how you have to, like, pull yourself up and keep going.
Well, you know, you guys know that I'm pretty close to Seth, and you know, we bought the mare that's produced all this stuff, you know, back, you know, 25 years ago. And when I first got into business with him and talking about different things, I remember him telling me at the time about what a you know, you don't know what a bad phone call in the horse business is till he got the one he got with Swale, when you know, his favorite trainer and close friend Woody had the horse rear up and, you know, fall back and hit his head and died. And I recognized then that you're just going to have to deal with that. It's part of it. And because when people ask me, do you get in the business? I said, well, I said, if you bet 300 in baseball, you know, you could be a Hall of Famer. I said, if you bet 200 or 20% as an owner, you should be in the Hall of Fame. It's hard to get there. It's just hard because you got a lot of young horses that run two or three times before they get their legs under them, and you know, you don't have the ability to control a lot of that. But I've run a lot of races over the years, and I keep fairly good track of stuff, and I've probably won about 16.5% of the time. But more importantly, I've had some really special horses like Madcap Escapade, and Vision and Verse, and First Samurai that have kind of kept me alive in the business. And you know, I've also developed a pretty good stable up in Canada that I get to race every year. And I like racing in Canada. I love Toronto as a city. It's fun to travel to. And so I primarily have focused the operation ever since Frankie retired. I've pretty much focused it on Kentucky and Canada, and they've both been very good to me.
Bruce, we really appreciate you taking the time out this morning here on the Breeders' Cup Countdown. You didn't have the best of luck Derby week. We're wishing you nothing but good luck this week, and of course, especially on Saturday in the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile with Art Collector. Thank you so much.
Okay, I really appreciate it. You guys have a good week. You got a lot of excitement to look forward to. Okay, take care.
Thank you so much. Bruce Lunsford, the owner and breeder of Art Collector, 6-1 on the morning line, Jude, in this year's Dirt Mile. It'll be the first time that Art Collector faces his elders, but that's normal for three-year-olds because there are no races for street three-year-olds in the Breeders' Cup. So a lot of the three-year-olds facing their elders for the first time. I think he drew well down along the inside. There are some horses that so far, Jude, have been faster than Art Collector. Complexity has run races that are faster than what Art Collector is race, but he's lightly raced. He's only had 10 starts in his career. He's coming off a trip that wasn't his best last time out. He may have had some excuses. We may be able to see Art Collector's best race yet this Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, he's coming up to the race really well. He looks fantastic in the mornings. He's got a lot of talent. He likes the racetrack. There's many, many things that you can like about him, including his jockey, Brian Hernandez, who gets on him almost every day. So, you know, they're a good team, and I like the way he's drawn. The best posts going a mile at Keeneland are 1, 2, and 3. He drew the 1. The main competition, Complexity, drew the 10-hole, which is not where you want to be, even though Complexity has a lot of speed and can probably get out of there. It's going to be a struggle for him to find a good trip from the 10 hole. So, there's some things to like. 6-1, I think, is a square price, and we'll see how it pans out, but it's going to be a very exciting race.
We're going to take another break. When we come back, we'll speak with Jared Burdine, the general manager of Hillendale Farm. They're going to leave their mark all over both Friday and Saturday Breeders' Cup cards. You're listening to the Breeders' Cup Countdown on HRRN.
Airdrie Studs Cairo Prince is the leading third crop sire by number of stakes winners, stakes horses, graded stakes winners, and graded stakes horses. He's also a top five general sire by the number of two-year-old winners so far in 2020. And his current crop of yearlings is his first conceived at a $25,000 stud fee. Yearlings from Cairo Prince's fourth crop sold for up to $400,000 this year, underlining his incredible commercial appeal. At $15,000 stands and nurses for 2021, Cairo Prince's value in the extreme, standing at Airdrie Stud. Think about it.
From a world-class team of equine industry leaders with international breadth that honors history, tradition, and the sport, comes business advisory expertise providing strategic tax compliance and operational services with innovation and determined persistence. Located in the heart of horse country, Dean Dorton is revered for visionary guidance in equine accounting, tax, and business consulting. Dean Dorton, business advisors, CPAs, consultants. Visit DeanDorton.com for all your equine operation needs.
Named for the village in the Pyrenees Atlantics department in the Aquitaine region, Arkang came to the 1993 Breeders' Cup Classic as a complete unknown. Despite having won a Group 1 race in France in his previous start, he was given almost no chance against a strong group of American runners in the Classic. He would be racing on dirt for the first time and would face the potent three-horse entry of Bertrando, Marquetry, and Missionary Ridge, as well as California star Best Pal. Future Hall of Famer Jerry Bailey, who was aboard Arkang for the first time, kept him settled at the back of the 13-horse field, but as they straightened for the wire, no one, not even Bailey, could have expected what was about to transpire.
Here comes Arkang, a huge upset looming here, as Arkang comes flying on the outside, and he runs by Bertrando Kissing Chris. Here is Arkang to win it in an absolute shocker. He's 99-1 in the $3 million Classic.
The official odds were 133-1. Arkang had become the longest shot ever to win a Breeders' Cup race, leaving those in attendance stunned and providing another memorable moment in Breeders' Cup history.
This is Christophe Clément. You are listening to the Horse Racing Video Network.
You're listening to the Breeders' Cup Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They're at the top of the lane. Talon Search of the rail. Idiot Proof alongside. And Idiot Proof, the one they have to beat. Idiot Proof gets the lead. Talon Search tries to battle back. Kelly's landing. Here's Midnight Glute. And Midnight Glute looking like he just jumped in at a quarter pole. He's flying down the center. Midnight Glute coming like an express train. And Midnight Glute, a scintillating win in the TVG sprint. Gives Garrett Proof. Here's another one. Second was Idiot Proof. Then came Talon Search. And Benny the Bull came from last to finish fourth.
Trevor Denman on the call of the 2008 Breeders' Cup Sprint, won by Midnight Lute. Midnight Lute getting his second consecutive Breeders' Cup Sprint win. He won in 2007, won in 2008, and he now stands at Hillendale Farms like many, many other tremendous stallions. Welcome back to the Breeders' Cup Countdown here on HRRN. Bobby Newman along with Jude Feld, and we will have Jared Burdine, the general manager of Hillendale Farms, on shortly with us. I know Midnight Lute, such an exciting horse, trained by Bob Baffert about 12, 13 years ago. What do you remember about Midnight Lute, Jude?
Well, the Breeders' Cup at Monmouth Park was just a torrential downpour, and I remember Midnight Lute winning that day, and Bob came down to the paddock. He might have had one in the next race, and the press was all around him, and everybody wanted an interview, and he walked straight up to me in my HRRN jacket, and he told everybody, he goes, "Jude talked to me when the rest of you people didn't, so I'm going to let him interview me first, and then I'll get to the rest of you." And wow, that was a little respect. I really enjoyed that, and that was a great Breeders' Cup. I got soaking wet. I was so wet that when I got back to my hotel room, I had to wring my clothes out over the tub. I was just drenched, and it was a crazy, crazy Breeders' Cup, but it was really, really good and one of my favorites. And to this day, there's a tree in the paddock at Monmouth Park that kept me semi-dry a lot of the day. And I always go visit that tree and express my thanks for taking care of me that day, because it was a wild day.
Midnight Lute, one of several tremendous stallions on the roster at Hillendale Farm. Pleased now to be joined by the general manager of Hillendale, Jared Burdine. Jared, welcome to HRRN.
Good morning, guys. That's one of my favorite races, too, is the Midnight Lute race that he's talking about there. He just explodes down the lane, comes out of nowhere in the slop, you know, it's cloudy. And Midnight Lute's one of my favorite stallions up at the stallion barn. It's my kids as well. He's the nicest, most laid-back horse there, too. So there's something about the big, you know, the big black stallion, a factor of him.
Pretty versatile
and
horse.
He was a horse that didn't need, you know, he won on a wet racetrack that day. He won on a fast racetrack the year after. He was a horse that really could run on anything, and he's been tremendous as a stallion as well. Well, Hillendale Farm, you guys are going to be busy Friday and Saturday. Your stallions are represented by 4 runners on Future Stars Friday, 9 runners on Saturday. Hillendale also the breeders of Cowan, runner in the Juvenile Turf Sprint, and Jasper Prince, who runs in the Breeders' Cup Sprint. Let's start on Friday. You've got stallions represented by 4 runners, including maybe the shortest price of the afternoon, Jackie's Warrior, who goes in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. Jackie's Warrior undefeated thus far. How exciting is it to see a son of McLean's Music doing what Jackie's Warrior has done?
Well, it's pretty electrifying, and that horse is probably the most exciting 2-year-old we've seen in a long time, and the most impressive to win the races that he has, especially, you know, the Hopeful and the Champagne. He looks a lot like his father. I know McLean's Music only ran once, but it was you know, that jaw-dropping performance, and you could just tell that he had that it factor, and just the way he moved, and Jackie's Warrior has a lot of it, too. He's got that kind of sideways snip and on his face, and just big and imposing, just glides across, you know, great mover. McLean's Music also has, you know, top sprinter miler right now too, Complexity. Chad Brown's got him right and coming back, and so we're just, as with everybody in the industry, we're sold out on McLean's Music. It's pretty electric, and it's exciting to have a horse, like a stallion like McLean's Music, who John had the most faith in to buy into off, you know, just the one start, and put a lot of faith and effort, and had a classic winner in his first crop, you know, bred by Hillendale. And has had a grade one winners continually from on then. And then with his big bred off that big crop, and, you know, we got Jackie's Warrior and a bunch of these other horses that are coming through right now.
Not every year at Saratoga, but many years, there's a 2-year-old that comes up that just kind of takes your breath away, and you go, this horse is going places. I think of Big Brown's victory on the turf there many years ago, and Uncle Mo. Jackie's Warrior's the horse this year that just, you know, left you breathless watching him. Talk about that feeling that you get when you see a horse like that. What it means,
yeah,
for you?
It's just like a chill factor. I mean, you kind of get a little nervous. These precocious 2-year-olds, like, was it just kind of early speed? Are they catching up to him? But that last race, like, he just exploded down the lane, and he just, like, in each race he's under wraps. I think He just explodes and just canters across the wire. So you want to wonder what he's still got. It doesn't look like he's got 3 or 4 more gears to go through.
Talking with Jared Burdine, the general manager of Hillendale Farm. They're represented by 13 runners in this year's Breeders' Cup. Their stallions are, that is. I mentioned Jackie's Warrior, Complexity, Sons of McLean's Music, Point of Honor, Global Campaign, by the great stallion Curlin, the breeders of Cowan, who's by Cantheros, breeders of Jasper Prince in the Sprint, who's by Violence, some great stallions. roster. Jared, how important are these Breeders' Cup Championships when you're looking at setting prices down the line for the Stallions? For instance, if Jackie's Warrior were to win, or if Complexity were to win, you know, how does that determine or help determine what the price will be for McLean's Music in the future?
Yeah, I mean it's huge, and it has it for that particular horse. I mean, that's, you know, we put a fee out there to we were inundated with requests on the horse, and we needed to accommodate some of those people that are confident and before the race, and reward those people by awarding them with a contract to the horse at a certain price. And, you know, we've been straightforward and said that, you know, it's only valid through the Breeders' Cup because, you know, fingers crossed and knock on wood that what we think is going to happen is going to come to fruition this weekend. You can only hope and have big implications on the horse's future, just solidifying kind of what we think already. So it'll be help improve the confidence in the horse and raise his stud fee.
Let's talk about Curlin for a minute. I mean, he's like the backbone of Hill and Dale. He's been so good for so long. He was such a tremendous racehorse.
Year in and year out, he just keeps adding graded stakes winners and grade one winners. He just keeps coming up with those big horses. Global Campaign, Classic, Point of Honor, and the Breeders' Cup Distaff. You know, she's run every, you know, she's every time she danced, she's hit the board. And Kenny McPeak looks like he's got a formidable competition for Jackie's Warrior and the Breeders' Cup Juvenile with King's Fury. And then there's Sally's Curlin, who was grade one place in her last start. We have her entered in phase of November, the Sunday night after the Breeders' Cup. It's always hectic here during this time when we try to enjoy the races and everything, but we have lots on tap for the following the Breeders' Cup races. It doesn't slow down for us. There's really no rest for the wicked. We got a plethora of high-end offerings at Phasic Tipton and at Keeneland.
Well, Jared, we really appreciate you taking the time this morning to join us here on the Breeders' Cup Countdown. Wish you and Hill and Dale the very best, not only this weekend with the Breeders' Cup races, but going forward. Thank you so much. Best of luck.
Thank you, guys.
Jared Burdine, the general manager of Hill and Dale Farm. You can see their great stallion roster on the website, hillanddalefarms.com. That's HILLNDALEfarms.com. Not Hill and Dale, hillanddalefarms.com. Jude, tremendous stallion roster at Hill and Dale. You mentioned Curlin, Ghost Sapper, Cantheros, Kitten's Joy, Midnight Loop, Mucho Macho Man, Point of Entry, Stormy Atlantic, Violence, just some of them on the roster, and they are going to have their eyes all over the place both Friday and Saturday for the Breeders' Cup races, most notably with Jackie's Warrior on Friday, then Complexity, Point of Honor, and Global Campaign on Saturday. A lot of pressure there as the farms that bred these runners or have the stallions, the sires of these runners, because as Jared mentioned, you know, this helps determine what they set the prices down the line. You know, it would be a huge boon for McLean's Music if Jackie's Warrior and or Complexity were to win their respective races.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, McLean's Music has turned out to be a tremendous sire. And as Jared mentioned, you know, he only had the one race, but wow, he's just passed on that brilliance to a lot of his foals. And John Sakura, who owns Hill and Dale Farm, is a very sharp guy, been in the business a long time and is not afraid to take shots. And they've paid off many, many times in their new farm, Jalapa Farm out in Paris, one of the most beautiful pieces of land that I've ever been on in my entire life. And it's just a tremendous place and a tribute to their operation. I mean, they do everything in a first-class manner, and can't say enough nice things about Hill and Dale.
And we certainly wish them the best, not only this Friday and Saturday, but going forward as well. We're going to take another break. When we come back, we're going to speak with Michelle Lovell. She not only trains Just Might in this year's Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint, she's the co-owner and co-breeder of Just Might. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Deep in the heart of horse country, from these Kentucky hills has sprung a legacy rivaled by few. From the all-time greats of yesterday to the breed-shaping bloodlines of today, our roots hold strong with the promise of tomorrow. For over a century, our passion has guided us to where we stand and everything we stand for. Claiborne Farm, the tradition continues.
On Sunday, November 8th, after the Breeders' Cup, Fasig Tipton will offer a catalog of exceptional quality all in one spectacular session. A night of stars featuring champions, Breeders' Cup winners, classic winners, leading race fillies, world-class broodmares, and selected weanlings. Nearly 50 graded stakes winners and producers catalog, no less than 26 of which are grade one. The world's premier breeding stock event, the November Sale, November 8th in Lexington, Kentucky. With online bidding available, where will you be?
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence educating and developing industry leaders for over 33 years. Classes are taught by industry experts in the state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
HRRN is your exclusive radio home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships. Tune in Friday, November 6th, beginning at 2:30 p.m. Eastern, and Saturday, November 7th, beginning at noon Eastern, as we bring you live coverage of every race on the Breeders' Cup card. The Breeders' Cup World Championships, only on HRRN. Tune in on Sirius 219 XM 201 or streaming live on our website at horseracingradio.net.
This is Bruce Brown, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Breeders' Cup Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They're at the top of the lane. Rapport on the outside. Along the inside, though, it's Regally Ready. And Regally Ready has the advantage to Rapport. Great attack in the black cap. Country Road coming home gamely. Cutter Cortado just not doing enough. Perfect Officer in the red caps coming flying. Regally Ready, Perfect Officer. Country Day on the outside. But it is going to be Regally Ready. And Regally Ready and Cory Nakatani have won it by just under two. It'll be Country Day in second. Perfect Officer a close third. Cutter Cortado's right there with Great Attack for fourth.
Trevor Denman on the call of the 2011 Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint when they used to run down the hill at Santa Anita. Don't get me started on that one, Jude. I still think they should be running down the hill.
Yes, so do I. Anita.
Regally Ready winning. He is a brilliant son of the Windstar Stallion, More Than Ready. Welcome back to the Breeders' Cup Countdown here on HRRN. Bobby Newman and Jude Feld, part of Windstar Week all week here on HRRN. And once again, Regally Ready, son of More Than Ready, one of many, many tremendous stallions on the Windstar roster. What an absolutely fantastic roster of stallions they have. You can check it out at windstarfarm.com. Mentioned More Than Ready. Lauban, represented by many, many horses in this year's Breeders' Cup. Fed Biz represented. Constitution, of course, the sire of Tis the Law. Promises Fulfilled. Spitestown. Take Charge Indy. Painter. And then next year, they're adding three pretty big ones. They're adding Improbable. They're adding Tom's D'Etat. They're adding Global Campaign. Pretty rare you get three horses competing in the Breeders' Cup Classic that will all be headed to the same farm to start stud duty next year. And that's what's going on at Windstar. Once again, they do a tremendous job. We'll be speaking with Elliot Walden, president of Windstar, on Thursday here on the Breeders' Cup Countdown. Well, back now to talk about what's going on with some of the races on Saturday, and we're pleased to be joined by Michelle Lovell, the owner, trainer, and breeder of Just Might, who takes part in this year's Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint. Michelle, welcome to the Breeders' Cup Countdown.
Hey, thank you.
Michelle, this is an exciting time for everyone who loves horse racing, but for you especially, not only just being the trainer of Just Might, but a part owner, part breeder of Just Might, are you walking on eggshells right now? Is this what you're thinking about day and night?
Yeah, of course. I'm just trying to kind of treat it for the moment, so I don't get too nervous. It is just like another race day. And the closer we get, like getting through the draw last night was my first nerve wrack that I had to go through. And then, you know, we're going to ship him tomorrow morning after he jogs early. We got to get him over to Keeneland. We're still at my barn in Churchill. So I think that's when the nerves are going to start a little bit more. So.
Is it one of those things where, you know, you're involved with this horse, not only train him, but own him as well and bred him? So you've got a lot of your own dough wrapped up in this horse, and it's crucial to your operation.
Yeah, it is. It's crucial. He kind of pulled us through winning a stake race in the winter right before the pandemic closed our country down, where we had to like just sit idle and no racing. So he really saved as far as having a little bit of cushion while we're not making any extra money. He's, you know, I do have a lot of money in him with my partner, but he's given it all back, really. And so it's going to be exciting. We're trying to, obviously, you know, put him in, you know, it's a huge step forward for sure. I mean, he's got to take to be running with us, you know, the best. So, but we were ready to take a shot at it, and we got his baby sister, a fool, to him. So that's kind of exciting, too, you know, to help her future as well.
Speaking with Michelle Lovell, the owner, trainer, and breeder of Just Might, who is right now big long shot on the morning line, 30-1 for the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint Race 5 on the Saturday card at Keeneland. Just Might, an improving sort, Michelle. You know, he's never beaten this level of competition, but he's getting better and better, and he's proven that he can run very well at this level, especially coming off a couple of very game third-place finishes in the Grade 2 Woodford and the Grade 2 Turf Sprint at Keeneland and Churchill, his last two starts respectively. Drawn in post two, he's a horse that has speed but doesn't absolutely need the lead. What kind of trip are you hoping for with Just Might on Saturday?
Well, you know, being down on the inside with some speed, like you say, he doesn't necessarily have to have a lead. You know, I guess we'll just have to. He's been really good, great away from the gate on his own, not being chased away. So he's pretty quick on a good day. Hopefully, we have a flawless break and let him see where he puts himself, and kind of that's how we've always handled it. Let the horse dictate where he needs to be. If someone's faster, we let them go ahead. And you know, if we have a tracking trip, that's great too. You know, you never want to get trapped down on the inside. So that's I'm not going to be fearful of anything. We're just going to have a really good time and let it happen. So we're happy with the draw. Kind of would, you know, obviously everybody wants to be somewhere in the middle, not far outside, not on the rail. So, but I'm going to be really happy with it because we're in it.
In it to win it, they say, right?
Yes. That's right.
Colby Hernandez is such a good jockey, too. I mean, he's got a good head on his shoulders, and he knows this horse. And so that's got to give you some confidence going in.
Yeah, Colby, you know, he's been a good rider for a while. He's kind of, you know, he's from Louisiana. He's young and got a young family, and he didn't want to leave and come to the Kentucky circuit. So he's never really dedicated his time here. He's come in and out, you know, at times, and I mean, I'm not the only one that's probably told him, you know, you're good enough to be here, but he just wanted to stay settled in Louisiana with his family. And I think he just finally made the decision to move here and be on this circuit and kind of chase a dream of getting bigger and better horses. We're in the middle of our training morning. I think that he's a really good, very heady rider, quiet. He is for sequel chill on my horse, almost like to scare me to death that he, in the stake, didn't move till very, very late. And I was just like, oh, my gosh, they're coming to get us. And so he's got a lot of confidence in himself and the horse. So, yeah, I feel really good having him on my horse. Some, you know, part of the home team. I know he's going to try hard, and I know he's not going to be too nervous, you know. So, yeah, I think he's really got what it takes to help us get there. So hopefully my horse is on it. He's ready. So we'll see. Hopefully he can make that move forward and be there in the mix at the end of the race.
Michelle, we mentioned the good finishes that Just Might had in his last two starts, the Woodford and the Turf Sprint. Prior to that, he ran at Keeneland going 5.5 furlongs on the turf in the Grade 2 Shakertown this past July, and he had a lot of trouble coming to the top of the stretch. He ended up finishing ninth that day, only beaten 2.5 lengths, but what did he encounter in that race? What caused him to drop back so suddenly?
Oh, that was hard to watch. And, you know, Colby couldn't ride him in that race. He had a first call, I think, with Al Stahl. So, and then that's right when they made all the jockeys choose the track that they were going on, the state they were going to ride in. So, and I chose the rider to ride him that was available. I had named somebody on that knew the horse and was working him. But he couldn't make the race. So I chose a rider that I thought would suit him really well, and he just didn't know the horse. And so when he broke, maybe he didn't have the confidence that the horse could go with the favorites that were in the race and actually be there on the end. So I think he made a decision when he was sitting third inside, just out of the gate, to let those other ones clear him. And when he did put my horse on the bridle, he went to take him back, which was you can't really take that much away from this horse. And then he just kept getting in trouble. And it was just one of those races where, you know, it was like, oh my goodness, that was really hard to watch. So, I mean, I think the rider just didn't know him well and just didn't think that he could actually stay up there with the horses that were to his outside. And I think had he dropped his hands and let him go, you know, I think he would have been I think he would have been on the board in my heart of hearts. I think he would have been on the board that day. So,
Well, Michelle, we really appreciate you taking the time this morning to join us here on the Breeders' Cup Countdown on HRRN. Wish you the best of luck, not only this Saturday with Just Might, but with the entire barn and everything going forward. And try to think gentle thoughts, calming thoughts until they get onto the track this Saturday. It's going to seem like forever these next 4 or 5 days for you, but we're rooting for you and hope that Just Mike gets a great trip in the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I appreciate it. And all the support we can get, we're excited about it. We're going to have a lot of fun with it, so I appreciate the support and having me on your show. Y'all have a great day.
You too, Michelle. Michelle Lovell, the trainer, co-owner, co-breeder of Just Might, one of the long shots in this year's Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint. Jude, Just Might looks like he's improving at the right time. I don't know if his best races can beat the best races of a few of the other ones who are right now a little bit more accomplished, like Got Stormy, like Imprimis, like Leinster, but he's really not that far behind them.
Yeah, and you know, trip is everything in these turf sprints. I mean, they're like roulette wheels, I call them, because it just depends on the break. It depends on where you're positioned. There's so many different factors that go into a turf sprint. Everything has to go right for you. So there's always that chance that you know, you get a good trip and maybe one of the fancier horses doesn't, and it can make a big difference. Not that that's any necessarily a reason to run, but a horse like him that has talent and hasn't been that far off of the other horses could pop up with a great trip and get a little lucky, and that's what this game's all about.
Michelle Lovell looking to get lucky with Just Might in the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint this Saturday. We're going to take another break. When we come back, we'll speak with Ned Toffee, the general manager of Spendthrift Farm. Boy, they're going to have a busy 2 days this Friday and Saturday. Stallions represented by five runners Saturday, 11 runners, five runners Friday, 11 runners Saturday. Oh, by the way, they're also the co-owners of Kentucky Derby winner Authentic. You're listening to the Breeders' Cup Countdown on HRRN.
This is HRRN, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Promises fulfilled. Promises fulfilled.
They're off in the Breeders' Cup Sprint, and there goes Promises Fulfilled off to the lead, blazing first fraction. It's Strike Power taken on by Promises Fulfilled, a half mile in 43.92 seconds.
Good Magic has been defeated. The leader, Promises Fulfilled.
Promises Fulfilled is still there, close to home. Promises Fulfilled is going to win the Allen Jerkins.
Standing at Windstar Farm.
What do these Breeders' Cup starters have in common? Swiss Skydiver, Tom's Daytaw, By My Standards, Serengeti Empress, CeCe, Improbable, Frank's Raquette, Ollie's Candy, Venetian Harbor, CZ Rocket, and Pirate's Punch. They all started at Oaklawn in 2020. Make plans now to join us for the richest winter race meet in the country from January 22nd to May 1st. Stall applications are now available at oaklawn.com. Oaklawn, a new level of racing.
Bolt Doro, America's fastest multiple Grade 1 winning juvenile since Uncle Mo. Bolt Doro scored dominating victories in the Grade 1 Del Mar Futurity and Grade 1 Frontrunner Stakes, earning a 103 buyer speed figure, the fastest by a two-year-old since 2014.
We're witnessing the emergence of a star as Bolt Doro treats his rivals to a comprehensive walloping in the frontrunner.
Bolt Doro's first weanlings are electric. Look for them next week at Keeneland and Fasig-Tipton. Bolt Doro, standing at Spendthrift Farm.
Get in-depth handicapping advice on the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts, every Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern. Anthony Stabile and Bobby Newman look forward to all of the weekend's biggest stakes races and break down each one with expert analysis. Get a jump on the competition with the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts, Fridays at 6 on Sirius 219, XM 201, or streaming at horseracingradio.com.
This is Joe Rocco Jr.
I'm John Velasquez.
My name is Victor Espinosa.
This is jockey Brian Hernandez, and you're listening to HRRN.
You're listening to the Breeders' Cup Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Golden Ticket is winding up on the inside. Golden Ticket coming with a run. Homeward Bound, Golden Sense is well clear, but Golden Ticket's got Dear Damon coming fast along the inside. Brujo de Olorosa's finishing gamely as well. Homeward Bound, Golden Sense still well clear. Golden Sense now, Golden Ticket catching, but not to get to Golden Sense. Golden Sense, a scintillating performance under Rafael Bejarano. Golden Sense won it. Golden Ticket was second. Brujo de Olorosa running on third.
Trevor Demmon on the call of the 2013 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, won very impressively by Golden Sense. Welcome back to the Breeders' Cup Countdown here on HRRN. Bobby Newman along with Jude Feld. Jude, Golden Sense, one of several very, very talented racehorses that are now stallions on the Spendthrift roster. Pleased to be joined now by the general manager of Spendthrift Farm, Ned Toffee. Ned, welcome to the Breeders' Cup Countdown.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Ned, it's a busy time of year for you guys over at Spendthrift, and you've had a huge year already. Your stallions represented by five runners, Future Stars Friday, including Mutasabek, Day Out of the Office. 11 runners representing your stallions on Saturday, including Frank's Raquette, Gamin, Authentic. By the way, all five of those by the super stallion Into Mischief, who stands at Spendthrift Farm. And if that's not big enough, Spendthrift, the co-owners of Kentucky Derby winner Authentic, who runs in the Breeders' Cup Classic, and Mr. Money, who runs in the dirt mile. Oh, boy, you guys are going to have eyes all over the place to pay attention to what's going on this weekend.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun when you get a bunch of these offspring out there, and you've got rooting interests all over the place. But we'll keep our fingers crossed. But Into Mischief never seems to disappoint.
Yeah, no kidding. I know a lady who's a prominent owner and breeder, and her system is to bet everything by Into Mischief, and that's how she handicaps. It's I thought she was a little off when she mentioned that, and then I got to thinking, you know, that's pretty good. How many horses do you have on your stable mail, Ned?
Well, I actually use a little bit different. So I use a jockey club portfolio scanning, so it automatically brings all those horses up. But I remember when we started doing this, it was pretty quick to scan through those results and entries and so on. It's a project now that if you start it, you better have a little time set aside to go through everything.
Wayne Lucas told me one time he was trying to sell me a mare, and he said, you know, you could put this mare's pedigree on your computer and start printing it out and go to lunch, and when you come back, it will still be running. And I thought that was one of the greatest lines of all time, because
those are the good kind to have.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's so Lucas to give you that kind of information.
Ned, let's talk a little bit more about Into Mischief. As a racehorse, he only ran six times in his career, and they were all, you know, as a 2 or a 3 year old, three wins, three second place finishes. He won the Hollywood Futurity back in 2007. He was second in the Malibu, second in the San Vicente, campaigned by B. Wayne Hughes, who is the owner of Spendthrift. Did you guys know all along, or is it kind of a guessing game as to, you know, how good of a stallion a horse like Into Mischief will be?
Well, I would love to tell you that we knew all along, but I think everybody out there would know I'd be lying. You know, that's the amazing thing about this game, is that there is, and Mr. Hughes has an expression, nobody knows. And that's probably about the truest thing you can say about anything that goes on in the horse business. With any degree of certainty, nobody knows. And it was the same with Into Mischief. He was a horse that we bought for $180,000 at a 2-year-old in training sale. He had a great breeze, great gallop out. He actually was much more, if you look at his race record, it's a little spotty, and you might think he was an unsound horse, and he really was not. He had an issue with the foot. It was basically canker on the bottom of his foot, and that had to be cut out, and it just took some time for everything to grow back, and it really cost him a lot of his 3-year-old year. So he never really quite got to show how good of a racehorse he was, and so I think that was one thing, was that we always felt like there was more there than what most people ever got to see. But in terms of knowing that he would be have any degree of success anywhere close to what he's had, you couldn't have predicted that. We certainly liked, we liked the foals. We liked the first crop, the yearlings, as they came out. But it really wasn't until, he had to get out and prove it, and do it on the track. And, you talk about, tracking offspring. I can still remember years ago sitting with Mr. Hughes in his living room, and Vijack and Golden Sense won stakes races within about 45 minutes of each other. And he looked at me, he said, I think I like this better than owning him, because I get to root for him and I didn't have to pay any bills on him. So, it really wasn't until he got down to it at the track that we began to realize what we had.
Into Mischief was part of Mr. Hughes's world famous now Share the Upside program. How easy was it to get people interested to buy into him as the stallion before he did anything?
Not easy. Not easy at all. As a matter of fact, you know, that's a program where we'll routinely sell a significant percentage of what we estimate that the stallion can breed in a given year as share the upsides. You know, there were only about eight share the upsides breeding rights that were ever actually initially earned in Into Mischief. So he was not popular with breeders initially. This is a horse he started out, his initial fee was $12,500. In year two was when we actually came up with the Share the Upside program. And in fact, Into Mischief is one of the reasons that we came up with the idea was because we felt like he was not going to get a very big book at all in year two. It wasn't a very big book that he got in year one. We knew that it would be even smaller in year two, and we felt like we had to come up with something to give him a chance. And that's the one thing, you know, that I will say is that we would take a little bit of credit for some of his success. You know, ultimately, it's him. But, you know, you have to understand that a stallion can't be successful unless he has the opportunity to be successful. So the Share the Upside program was just a way to give him an opportunity to be successful and simply put, get mares to him. And what we've seen over the years is that the really good stallions can overcome, you know, less expensive mares, but they can't overcome no mares. And Into Mischief is sort of the living embodiment of that. So it was very difficult to get people to jump on the bandwagon. Now it's very difficult to get people off the bandwagon.
Speaking with Ned Toffee, the general manager of Spendthrift Farm, you mentioned many stallions on the farm at Spendthrift. We've been talking almost exclusively about Into Mischief, who is a superstar stallion, but Malibu Moon is there, Vino Rosso, Breeders' Cup champ, Matoli, Breeders' Cup champ, Golden Sense, Breeders' Cup champ, Omaha Beach is there, Lord Nelson, Cole Front, Temple City, just some of the tremendous roster that Spendthrift has right now. Getting to the races this weekend, Ned, starting especially on Friday, you got five represented by Spendthrift Stallions, and Into Mischief, the sire of both Mutasabek and Day Out of the Office. Day Out of the Office, an undefeated filly going in the juvenile fillies. Mutasabek, what a freakish performance he put in trying the turf for the first time. He figures to be favored or one of the favorites in the juvenile. What are your thoughts on those two juveniles going into the races?
Yeah, I mean, Mutasabek has been fun to watch because he broke his maiden like he was going to be a pretty solid 2-year-old colt on the dirt, but came back and got beaten. And they switched him over to the turf, and obviously Todd saw something there that made him feel like that would work, and he just was an absolute monster when they switched him over. So, you know, Into Mischief is actually ranks quite high right now on the turf sires list as well. So, sort of further proof that there's nothing he can't do. But Mutasabek just looks like an absolute monster. So I'm really excited to see what he does. But if he repeats the effort in his last start here at Keeneland over this same turf course, I think he's going to be awfully tough.
Day Out of the Office is kind of a unique story too, in that she's been training up at Thistledown, and she's run at several different racetracks and including Saratoga, so she's well traveled and very consistent, and looks to me like she's on the improve. I mean, she's great and she's getting better.
Yeah, and you know what? So my understanding of what happened there was that she was actually injured before Yearling Sale got into the fence and injured a leg and the owner worked out a deal with Tim Hamm, and they really weren't sure that she would ever make it to the races because the damage to the leg was so significant at the time. And she has certainly made it to the races. So and I think she's been very impressive, and I think it'll be interesting to see this thing could set up really nice for her. But I think her ability to stalk and pounce I think bodes well for her this weekend.
Ned Toffee, the general manager of Spendthrift Farm, Spendthrift Stallions, headlined by Into Mischief, and the Stallions represented by 5 runners on Friday, including Mutasa Beck and Day Out of the Office, 11 runners on Saturday, including Frank's Rocket, Gamine, and Authentic, who Spendthrift also co-owns. Mr. Money, another one that they co-own. Ned, we wish you and the entire Spendthrift team the best of luck Breeders' Cup Friday and Saturday and going forward. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
This is the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Adena Spring Stallion Mucho Macho Man. Tough, sound, durable. A stakes winner at 3, 4, 5, and 6 who competed in all 3 Triple Crown races before turning 3 years old and capped a stellar career with a determined victory in the Breeders' Cup Classic over champions Will Take Charge and Declaration of War.
Mucho Macho Man has the lead close to home! Mucho Macho Man, Declaration of War! Will Take Charge, a final man! Mucho Macho Man! He did it over Will Take Charge!
Mucho Macho Man has produced 2 first crop grade 1 winners, 1 on dirt.
Mucho Gusto in the Pegasus World Cup. He won it by 5 lengths.
And 1 on turf.
And the California bred Mucho Unusual all the way in the Rodeo Drive.
The number 1 North American sire by 2020 average earnings per runner is Mucho Macho Man, standing at Adena Springs.
The championship season returns to Gulfstream Park this December. Thoroughbred stakes action returns with the Claiming Crown, the Fort Lauderdale, the Grade 1 $3 million Pegasus World Cup, the Fountain of Youth Stakes, the Grade 1 Florida Derby, and much, much more. Stay in on the action from the comfort of your mobile phone with the First Bet app, the official app of Gulfstream Park. First Bet offers AI-predicted picks, high-definition live stream races, replays, and live betting from the palm of your hand.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence educating and developing industry leaders for over 33 years. Classes are taught by industry experts in the state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Thursday evenings, 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern, is the Briznet.com call-in show. It's your chance to call in and let the Horse Racing Radio Nation know what's on your mind. Call us at 888-966-HRRN and discuss the topics you choose in the world of thoroughbred racing. The Briznet.com call-in show, every Thursday, 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern, on Sirius 219 and XM 201, or streaming live online at horseracingradio.net.
This is Al Stahl, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Breeders' Cup Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
But it is Lady Secret who puts it in another gear as they turn for home. She leads by 5 at the top of the stretch. Outstandingly second toward the inside is now set down for the drive. Franz Valentine on the outside third, and they're coming to the final furlong. Lady Secret in front by 4. Franz Valentine, outstandingly Classy Cathy, and here is a brilliant champion. Lady Secret, another flawless performance. And is she horse of the year? We'll find out later on today. But Lady Secret was brilliant in victory this afternoon, showing the stuff.
Congratulations, Nick. You got horse.
One of many emphatic and tremendous calls by Tom Durkin. That was the 1986 Breeders' Cup Distaff, just the 3rd year in the history of the Breeders' Cup, and Lady Secret destroying a good field of fillies and mares at Santa Anita that year. Welcome back, to the Breeders' Cup Countdown here on HRRN. Bobby Newman along with Jude Feld, part of WinStar Week here on HRRN. We will be highlighting a lot of great stallions that WinStar has on their roster. You can check it out at winstarfarm.com. Not only do they have tremendous stallions on the roster already, stallions like Congrats, Constitution, Distorted Humor, Painter, Fed Biz, Spitestown. They've got some pretty good ones on the roster for 2021. How about three horses in this year's Breeders' Cup Classic, Global Campaign, Tom's D'Etat, and Improbable, all set to enter stud duty at WinStar in the year 2021. Big things coming up. Speaking of big things coming up, I want to let you know what's coming up here on HRRN this entire week. We are nonstop Breeders' Cup action. Breeders' Cup Countdown today, tomorrow, and Thursday morning, 8 to 10 a.m., Sirius 216, XM 202. Race day shows Wednesday and Thursday. Anthony Stabile and myself from 3 to 6, Sirius 219, XM 201. On Wednesday from 6 to 7 p.m., Trainer Talk presented by Fasig Tipton. Thursday, 6 to 7 p.m., the BrisNet Call-In Show, Anthony Stabile and Action Ed DeRosa. Then Friday, it's Future Stars Friday, live from the Breeders' Cup at Keeneland, the Breeders' Cup World Championships. We will have live coverage here from 2:30 to 5:30 p.m., followed by a special 90-minute edition of the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts. So big coverage from 2:30 all the way till 7 o'clock on Friday here on the network. Equine Forum, the show that launched the network this Saturday, 8 to 10 a.m., featuring Mike Penna, and then live coverage of the Breeders' Cup Championships on Saturday, starting at noon and going through the Breeders' Cup Classic, ending at 5:30. Wall-to-wall coverage of Breeders' Cup action here on HRRN. Don't forget, not only is a big action this Friday and Saturday, Sunday, a big day in the racing world. Maybe not so much the racing world, but the thoroughbred in general world, as Fasig Tipton going to have a huge sale this Sunday starting at 2 p.m. You can check out all of the information at FasigTipton.com. And Jude, this Fasig Tipton sale, the day after the Breeders' Cup, features a lot of Breeders' Cup connections. Not only is this sale tied to horses who are, you know, grads who are running in this year's Breeders' Cup races, there are actually runners in the Breeders' Cup races this year that will be sold the very next day. Nine runners set to go this Friday or Saturday in the Breeders' Cup are set to be sold through the Fasig Tipton ring on Sunday in the midst of Biz, Sally's Curlin, Got Stormy, Into Mystic, Rushing Fall, Uni, Monomoy Girl, Point of Honor, Valiance, all scheduled to be sold at Fasig Tipton this Sunday afternoon. That means that we can buy one of these runners. We're going to have to bring a little money with us, but we can buy him.
Yeah, I'm going to call Santa and see if he'll bring me Rushing Fall. You think he'll do that? I've been a good boy this year.
These sales are fun to watch. By the way, you can watch all the coverage online as well at FasigTipton.com, and you can see the entire catalog. It's not just runners who are of racing age. There are other ones, there are younger runners as well, or future stars, I should say, future runners. But it's just a tremendous who's who in those that are of racing age, of names that you already know, not just runners who were entered in this year's Breeders' Cup races, but some great other stakes contenders, other allowance winners, just, you know, names from the past. And it's phenomenal what you're going to get to see go through the sales ring this Sunday at Fasig Tipton. We're going to take another break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Acacia Courtney. She's going to join us each of the next three mornings live from Keeneland with her daily workout report. You're listening to the Breeders' Cup Countdown on HRRN. Airdrie Studs Cairo Prince is the leading third crop sire by number of stakes winners, stakes horses, graded stakes winners, and graded stakes horses. He's also a top five general sire by the number of two-year-old winners so far in 2020.
and his current crop of yearlings is his first conceived at a $25,000 stud fee. Yearlings from Cairo Prince's fourth crop sold for up to $400,000 this year, underlining his incredible commercial appeal. At $15,000 stands and nurses for 2021, Cairo Prince's value in the extreme, standing at Airdrie stud. Think about it.
From a world-class team of equine industry leaders with international breadth that honors history, tradition, and the sport, comes business advisory expertise providing strategic tax compliance and operational services with innovation and determined persistence. Located in the heart of horse country, Dean Dorton is revered for visionary guidance in equine accounting, tax, and business consulting. Dean Dorton, business advisors, CPAs, consultants. Visit DeanDorton.com for all your equine operation needs.
HRRN is live online. Go to our website at horseracingradio.net to stream all of our broadcasts live or listen to the show archives anytime. Read our blogs, get the latest news, and see our entire broadcast schedule. It's all there at horseracingradio.net. And follow us on Twitter at HRRN and like our page on Facebook. Search Apple Podcasts for HRRN and download our latest shows. HRRN is home to racing's biggest events, and our home on the web is at horseracingradio.net. The Breeders' Cup runs here.
There will be a fourth jewel in the crown. He's an everlasting credit to the sport. American Pharoah has belted a grand slam in the Breeders' Cup Classic. He wins it in 2 minutes flat.
Only on HRRN.
Hi, I'm Richard Migliori, and I love listening to Horse Racing Radio Network. Good night, Barbados.
You're listening to the Breeders' Cup Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And Passiana has taken the lead under a cool and confident Chris McCarron. It's Passiana in front as they turn for home. Fout is all out trying to get to her. Saratoga Blue couldn't keep up. White Light is in with a chance. Magical Maiden is there on the outside. Marling is still in heavy traffic, but it is Passiana. Versailles Trinity is second, Magical Maiden third, no doubt about the best mare in America, it's Passiana! A spectacular drive, and an affectionate pet on the neck from Chris McCarron, as if he were to say, well done, Passiana, well done indeed.
Tom Durkin on the call of the 1992 Breeders' Cup Distaff, won in super impressive fashion by Passiana, trained by Ron McAnally, ridden beautifully by Chris McCarron. Passiana, one of the best mares we've seen over the last 30 years. Jude, welcome back to the Breeders' Cup Countdown here on HRRN, part of Windstar Week, all week here on the network. Pleased to be joined now by Acacia Courtney, who's live at Keeneland. Acacia, welcome to the Breeders' Cup Countdown.
Hey, Bobby and Jude, thanks so much. Happy to be on with you guys this morning.
Yeah, are you staying warm out there?
It's not too bad. I just got into Kentucky yesterday afternoon, and I was told that it was much colder yesterday morning. So it's really not bad. The sun is shining. The weather's supposed to be great for this weekend, which is really good news. And I did just come from New York, where it was very cold and rainy all weekend. So a little bit of sunshine is actually a nice little change here.
Nice.
Acacia Courtney, who obviously you get to see all the time, not only on America's Best Racing, covering the races from NYRA, but in the wintertime at Gulfstream Park. She will be with us each of these three mornings live from Keeneland, right at about 9:40 a.m. Eastern time. And Acacia, I know you've got a lot that you've seen already this morning. Let's start with the juveniles, and specifically the juvenile fillies. What's caught your eye thus far?
Well, it's been interesting getting to see a lot of the two-year-olds, and obviously Friday is Future Stars Friday, and a couple of the fillies, as you mentioned, out this morning, and one I was really interested to see was Simply Ravishing for Ken McPeak, as, again, I wasn't here yesterday, but I had been told and saw in some of the replays yesterday when she'd gone out in the morning, she'd pretty much tried to run away with her rider. Now, Ken McPeak had said yesterday with some of the travel, it was a different exercise rider than she normally has. And I did see her in Saratoga in her debut, which she actually won on the turf. and she pretty much tried to run off in the post parade that day. She was really green with the pony. She's a very difficult filly. So seeing her on the track this morning, she was a little bit more contained than she was yesterday. But I think that's important to note for people that are maybe getting a look at her, that she is just one of those high-energy types. Now, she was almost one that in her debut you'd kind of want to throw out, given of how she was acting before the race. But she obviously is incredibly talented being undefeated and running so well in that debut. So seeing her this morning, she was almost kind of jig-jogging sideways a bit, as if she was just so keen to do more. And the exercise rider still was keeping her kind of coming back to him, keeping her a little bit more contained. So that was good to see. But again, I think that's an important thing because she is just that high energy type. But one that really impressed me was Girl Daddy for Dale Roman, who looks pretty stacked with his juveniles this weekend. Is she had a lovely just kind of suspension in her movement, the way that she was moving out there on track. The biggest thing I'm concerned about is that she's had some trouble getting out of the gate. I think that she does have some natural speed, but obviously the competition is deeper this weekend. So hopefully she's going to be a little bit sharper out, but she's a nice mover and obviously coming in here undefeated as well after winning the Pocahontas.
Did either one of those fillies breeze this morning? Or
no, just a routine gallop out there on the track. I think pretty much at this point, from what I've been told, the biggest kind of breezes and works will be kind of behind them already. Did see a couple of paddock schoolers, did see some horses kind of being a little bit stronger ass out there than maybe some others, but both of those fillies and Vequist was out as well. Vequist paddock schooling and then coming out onto the track and just having kind of a routine gallop. And it is cooler, as you know, Jude, in this cool weather. Some of these horses can feel very fresh out there on the track.
Oh yeah, they love it when it's cool. There's no question about it. So you're right about yesterday. It was in the 20s yesterday morning, and today it was, well, when I drove to the studio at 7 o'clock, it was 36. So quite a bit different.
A little bit better.
Acacia, you mentioned...
Sorry.
Go ahead. I was going to say, you mentioned a few of the juvenile fillies so far, but you've seen some of the colts and geldings too, specifically... some of the longer shots set to go in this year's Breeders' Cup Juvenile, Likeable and Sitting on Go.
Yeah, Likeable was another one kind of going off of talking about Simply Ravishing being difficult. He was very difficult out there this morning, really fighting with his exercise rider, trying to run off. He comes off of a big maiden win at Belmont and obviously was very impressive that day. I don't think it was the strongest of two-year-old fields that he beat that afternoon, but obviously a win by 8 1/4 lengths will give you some impetus to take a shot in here. But I was a little bit discouraged with seeing him this morning as he just was being a little bit of a goof out there on the track and just not really being very focused at all, which for some of these horses as two-year-olds, they are so lightly raced and inexperienced too. So seeing kind of that maturity is kind of what I'm looking for at this stage of the game as well, as now they've had a couple of races under their belt and stepping up into much tougher competition. But then Sitting on Go for Dale Romans, coming off of that Iroquois win, looks fantastic out there on the track this morning. This is my first time laying eyes on him in person, but he looked really well-muscled. He was well-contained out there for a routine gallop. And just showing that kind of mental maturity for a young and inexperienced horse, I think, is a really big plus, because it's going to be a lot, even without a big crowd. It's a lot to handle on these big race days, and sometimes can kind of be a kind of jumping into the fire, into the deep end, so to speak. But I was really impressed with what I saw from Sitting on Go out on the track this morning for Dale Roman, too. He said he's come in, he's traveled so great, and he told me he could not be more pleased with what Sitting on Go is doing, and he also thinks he's going to get a good pace set up.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of speed in there, and he's got a nice, relaxing, early style. He's a horse that can rate, and that could be a big help.
Yeah. speaking about the Saturday card, Acacia, you've gotten to look at some of the runners who are set to go this Breeders' Cup Saturday. And one of the advantages you have with being in New York so much of the year is you get to see horses like Tis the Law working constantly. We didn't get to see Tis the Law work at Churchill before he tried the Kentucky Derby, but he's been working at Keeneland. What have you seen thus far from Tis the Law?
Well, it was an interesting move from Barclay Tagg, who typically will keep a horse kind of at his home track, but opting to come here early to Keeneland to get him a real work at Keeneland before the Breeders' Cup Classic. And I thought the work that he had a few days ago was very much in line with the kinds of works that I saw from him before the Belmont and the Travers. He's a horse that always looks like he wants to do more in the mornings. And even seeing him out there galloping this morning with regular exercise rider Heather Smullen aboard, who's Robin Smullen's niece, partner and assistant trainer to Barclay Tagg, and obviously a big part of the operation as well. And she knows him very, very well. He will almost kind of, you'll see in his work that his head will be cocked a little bit as she tries to keep him focused on moving forward and almost distracting him a little bit from not trying to run off with her and do too much because he's such a strong horse. Seeing that same thing from him this morning, like he's just pulling, like he wants to do more. Not running off, not being too over the top, but just a horse that looks like you just haven't gotten to the bottom of him yet, which is exciting. And as you mentioned, Bobby, I didn't see him in the flesh before the Kentucky Derby, but looking at what I saw from him in New York before the Travers, which I think was really his big breakout performance of the year, he couldn't have looked any better out there this morning. Of course, accompanied by Barclay Tagg on the pony, right there with him for every step of the way, just looking like he has got so much more in the tank. And I loved what Barclay had said to me about him this summer. He said he's a feisty little guy, and he also said that he's never been concerned about distance for Tis the Law.
Speaking of feisty little guys, how's my boy Whitmore doing? He's a feisty old guy.
The feisty old guy. He came on the track, and immediately on the apron, everybody was like, who is that that is acting up like that? Because we had just seen a lot of the two-year-olds out there. No, it was Whitmore. Came out throwing some bucks, acting up all over the place, and then everybody saw the saddle towel and just said, oh, okay, that's Whitmore. That's the usual for him. He also gate schooled this morning, going over to the starting gate and threw a few bucks over there as well. But kind of once he got down to his business and was doing his little work over the track and in his gallop, he was acting fine and acting like a professional. But he was definitely feeling himself this morning, and you didn't want to be behind Whitmore, we'll put it that way.
Yeah. Well, a lot of times horses are behind Whitmore. So he's a classic.
Speaking with Acacia Courtney, who's live on the grounds at Keeneland. Well, Acacia, you mentioned Tis the Law, who we think is going to like the main track at Keeneland. You mentioned Whitmore, mm-hmm. who we know likes the main track at Keeneland. But I don't think there's anyone who likes Keeneland more than Rushing Fall. Yes, it's on the turf. She's raced on the turf at Keeneland six times in her career. Five of those have resulted in wins. Have you gotten to see Rushing Fall since arriving?
I did. I saw her out this morning. She and Uni, who will be in the mile, also out for Chad Brown, came out around the same time in Rushing Fall, the morning line favorite in the Philly Mare Turf. And she obviously loves Keeneland. This is a racetrack that she's done quite well at. I think the question for her that a lot of people are wondering is the added distance, as she'll go a mile and 3/16, as her last start at Keeneland was a mile and 1/16. And she seems to be more around that to a mile and 1/8 type of horse. But she's just, I always describe her with the word elegant. I think that that's really the best way to put it about her. She looked very tucked up, very fit, and she's not the type that tends to carry a ton of condition. She's not a lighter type of horse, but she's super feminine. She looked very much the same just as far as fitness does go of what I saw from her this summer in Saratoga. One thing that concerned me slightly about her was that she did get a little bit of a lather on her neck out there on track this morning, which she can get a little bit warm in the afternoon, so it is pretty cool out. She didn't seem overly nervous, but that's something I'll be kind of looking at with interest over the next few days. But again, she was very much carrying herself like she always does. So hopefully she's able to kind of conserve everything, as she will have to go a longer distance this weekend.
Well, Acacia, we really appreciate you joining us not only this morning, but each of the mornings here on the Breeders' Cup Countdown on HRRN. Great insight this morning. Looking forward to hearing what you have to say both tomorrow and Thursday. Thank you so much, and stay warm.
Thanks, Bobby and Jude. Good luck with getting ready for the big race days, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right.
Acacia Courtney, she is our eyes and ears on the grounds at Keeneland. She will join us each of the next two mornings here right around 9:40 a.m. Eastern Time, live from Keeneland. And Jude, you know, I think the thing that we, that a lot of people workouts-wise are most concerned with are 'tis the law. If there's any one horse that, you know, is kind of a lightning rod and people want to know if he or she are going to like the racetrack or the course, it's 'tis the law, because his two defeats have both come at Churchill Downs. It's an easy excuse to make to say that he doesn't like Churchill, or maybe he doesn't like it as much as other tracks. I actually thought he ran very well in the Kentucky Derby, maybe not as well as he ran in the Travers in his previous start at Saratoga, but he ran very, very well. Unfortunately, Authentic also ran very, very well, and he ended up finishing second to Authentic. I think 'tis the law, if he runs the same kind of race in the Breeders' Cup that he ran in the Travers, he is absolutely a major player in the race. I don't know what he's going to do from that inside post, but from what I've seen thus far, and from what it sounds like Acacia has seen, he looks like he likes the main track at Keeneland.
Yeah, I mean, he's trained sensationally since he's been here. I've seen a lot of his stuff on TVs and videos. He looks magnificent. He's a good horse. I'm with you a little bit on the Churchill thing. I mean, I know he's gotten beat there, but that doesn't necessarily mean he doesn't like Churchill. It might not be his favorite place, but he runs good every place he goes, and he's just a very, very good horse. I mean, I really think he's got a lot of talent. I wouldn't be surprised if he won the Classic. I don't really care too much about post positions, going a mile and a quarter. I mean, he's going to run his race. I think he's coming up to the race superbly. So, I mean, why not? I mean, he's as good as any horse in there. I mean, I wouldn't trade you for half of him. He's just amazing. He's a very talented, great looking horse. His coat's beautiful. I mean, Barkley's done a great job with him.
This is the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Warfront. This son of Danzig ranks among the world's elite sires. With Grade 1 winners on dirt and turf and star performers both at home and abroad, Warfront's success as an international super sire is unmatched. Recent stars include War of Will, a classic winner on dirt and now a Grade 1 winner on turf, plus Halliday, winner of the Grade 1 four-star Dave Handicap at Saratoga. In the auction ring, his progeny continue to command top dollar. Warfront, standing at Claiborne Farm.
On Sunday, November 8th, after the Breeders' Cup, Fasig Tipton will offer a catalog of exceptional quality, all in one spectacular session. A night of stars, featuring champions, Breeders' Cup winners, classic winners, leading race fillies, world-class broodmares, and selected weanlings. Nearly 50 graded stakes winners and producers catalog, no less than 26 of which are Grade 1. The world's premier breeding stock event, the November Sale, November 8th in Lexington, Kentucky. With online bidding available, where will you be?
Hey everyone, it's Mike Pena. You know, every Saturday morning I have the privilege of visiting with the top owners, trainers, breeders, jockeys, and industry professionals in the sport of thoroughbred racing on our Equine Forum show. We call the Equine Forum the show that launched a network because it was our original show that started it all more than 15 years ago. So be sure to join me every Saturday morning from 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern as I take you inside the world of thoroughbred racing. It's the Equine Forum, Saturdays, 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern on Sirius 219 XM 201. And streaming worldwide at horseracingradio.net.
My name is Abel Escanos. Listen to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Breeders' Cup Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And wrapping up our first of three Breeders' Cup Countdown shows, Bobby Newman and Jude Feld here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Part of Winstar Week here on HRRN. A reminder, we'll be back tomorrow morning with day two of the Breeders' Cup Countdown, 8 to 10 a.m. Going to have a big show on tap tomorrow. Jockeys Joe Talamo and Tyler Gaffleone will join us tomorrow morning, both of them with multiple mounts in this year's Breeders' Cup. Trainer Peter Miller will join us, Acacia Courtney at 9:40 a.m. Eastern Time, Ed DeRosa from Twin Spires and Bloodstock Research, and the president of Claiborne Farm, Walker Hancock, also to join us tomorrow morning. That'll wrap up day one of the Breeders' Cup Countdown here on HRRN. For Jude Feld, producer Lee Delapina, I'm Bobby Newman. Thanks for joining us this morning. Have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow morning on the Breeders' Cup Countdown.